All right. The people on Facebook Live will already know that because it jumps right up at them. All right, welcome to our Facebook Live people, and looking forward to our time today. I'm so excited about what we're going to study today. Now, did you hate it when you used to go to classes and the teacher would say, oh yeah, we're going to start today with a pop quiz? How many of you like that? Well, I'm going to start today with a pop quiz, okay? All right, simple questions. First of all, do you read Proverbs every day? Yes or no? Simple question. And think about your answer for a second, because some of you might say, well, not every day. But some of you might, like, no. I haven't really thought much about it. Okay, so answer that one yes or no. Then, if you do read Proverbs every day, why? That's an important question. Look into your heart. Why do I do this? If you don't, why not? And there are basically only two possible answers to that question. If you do not read Proverbs every day, or it isn't your intention and your desire to read Proverbs every day, there are only two reasons why that may be so. The first one is, you don't want to. If you don't want to read Proverbs every day, obviously you won't. So that could be one answer. The other one is, I want to, but I don't. So you don't have the discipline. If there's another explanation, I don't have the time. Well, that's what I just said. You don't have the discipline to discipline your time in such a way that you do it. It's one of those two. I'm going to try to address both of them today. On January 4th, I read the 4th. How many days roughly are in a month? 28, 29, 30, or 31? How many chapters are there in the book of Proverbs? 31. It is designed so beautifully to read one chapter of Proverbs a day as it corresponds to the date. And that's in your calendar. If you don't have one, get one. If you have one, use it. Open it up. My purpose for this message is very, very simple. That you read Proverbs every day. That becomes your goal for the rest of your life. That's my goal. But I need to motivate. The desire comes before the discipline, and you will not do it unless you want to do it. So I hope that the Holy Spirit motivates you today to want to do it and then gives you wisdom as to how you can get that done, what you need to do to do it. Now, the book of Proverbs is loaded with commandments, number one. Loaded with commandments. So in chapter 4, there are 27 verses, but there are over 40 commandments. So I have commandments times 40 plus. There are more commandments implied in it. But I came up with at least 40. And where are my glasses? Where did I leave my glasses? Did I leave them over there? I don't see them. Anyway, maybe I won't need them today. So we'll see how it goes. Sorry about that. But I listed the do's and don'ts that I find in Proverbs chapter 4. So I'm just going to put these out to you real quickly. I didn't make an entire list of them. You could, at home, go through and circle all the commandments, the do's and the don'ts that you find in this chapter. But let me just give them to you so you get sort of a drift of what the writer of Proverbs is doing, what God's speaking to us through it. So first of all, hear twice. Give attention. Notice how many of these words involve the mind. The mind is Satan's playground. The mind is our battleground. Proverbs is all about changing our minds, teaching us things. So give attention to, hold fast. It's also like keep it and obey it. Keep it twice. Acquire it. Love it. Get it. Prize it. Embrace it. Embrace wisdom. Accept it. Take hold of it. Guard your heart. Avoid certain paths. Turn away from them. Pass on. Give attention to the instructions. Incline your ear and your heart. Watch over. Put away bad things twice. Look. Fix your gaze. Watch. These are all commandments. Now listen. Jesus said in the Great Commission, go and make disciples. Teach them to observe or teach them to do. This is my job. This is your job, parents. This is our job. Teach, make disciples. All of us want to make disciples. All of us are put into context where we have people in our lives that God wants to uniquely use us in their lives to make disciples out of them. A disciple is a learner. And Jesus said, make disciples, teaching them to do or to observe, to practice all that I have commanded you. And Jesus said, I did not come to abolish the Old Testament, I came to fulfill it. In other words, every commandment we find in the Old Testament, per the Apostle Paul, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, famous verse, all Scripture, and he's talking about the Old Testament, so he's talking about the book of Proverbs. All Scripture is what? It's God-breathed, it's inspired by God, and all of it is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training us in righteousness so that the man or the woman of God would be adequate and equipped for every good work. So all of that is to say that when Jesus said, go and teach them my commandments, he was including the book of Proverbs. He fulfills the book of Proverbs. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is wisdom. So everything you read, it wasn't Solomon that made this up. It was the wisdom of God's, the Holy Spirit speaking through Solomon, through David. So these are Jesus' commandments. And that's why a New Testament preacher is going to preach Proverbs now and then. And as I read it, as I said on the 4th of January, the Holy Spirit just impressed upon me immediately, you've got to preach this. So as soon as I finish that last series, here we are. There are also some don'ts in the chapter 4. Don't abandon them. Don't forget them. Don't turn away. Don't forsake. Do not enter that bad path. Do not proceed. Pass by it. Do not let these things depart and turn to them. So let's do that right now. Let's turn to them, shall we? Now, no one will do, as I said, if you don't read Proverbs every day, it's either because you don't want to or you want to and you don't. You just plain don't discipline yourself to do it. Okay? Now, I know, I understand that the desire comes before the discipline, as I've said. So I want to motivate you to do it. So also, one last thing, in chapter 4 and all of the Proverbs, we have also commendations. Commendations. God commends the book of Proverbs to us. And just in this chapter, we see because it gives us sound teaching. It gives us instruction. It gives us life, health, protection, supervision, exaltation, honor, long life, and smooth sailing because it makes life easier. Life gets better. Why would you not want to read the book of Proverbs? I talk to pastors sometimes. And I'm not saying I'm a good pastor, they're a bad pastor. I'm just saying it blows me away when I talk to a pastor who says, yeah, I guess I really should read the book of Proverbs. I'm thinking, what? Here's the instruction book. This is how to do it. Why would you not read it every day of your life and then try to put it into practice? It will do all of those beneficial things for you. It absolutely will. It promises because it is the very living word of God. So, all right, let's now turn to it. Proverbs chapter 4. So we're just going to sit here for quite a while and just go through it verse by verse. Hear, O sons, the instruction of a father. We believe that Solomon is writing this, so he's speaking to his son. So watch, there's two generations right there. Give attention so that you may gain understanding. Earnest, absorbed attention. So when you read Proverbs, you know how you can do it. You can read the Bible and get about three paragraphs down and say, I was thinking of something else. I don't remember one word that I just read. That's not what we're supposed to do. He said, give attention to it. Be absorbed by it. You got to rein yourself in. You got to rein your mind back in and say, okay, focus. Go back. start over. Pay attention. Why? For I give you sound teaching. Now, it's not Solomon doing it. It's through God. Do not abandon my instruction. And then he says in verse 3, when I was a son to my father, tender and the only son in the sight of my mother. So now he's talking about who? David. King David is his dad. Now, Solomon's talking to his son, but he's pointing out three generations. I circled the he's in here and all the my fathers, and because he's talking about three generations. Verse 4, then he, my father, taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast to my words. Keep my commandments and live. Now, every time I read that, I have to remember Jesus fulfilled this. So, did David always teach Solomon the right stuff? No. Did Solomon always teach his son the right stuff? No. Supposed to be the wisest man in the world, and there's some stuff he did that it's hard for me to accept that. But the Bible says it, so I believe it, and that settles it. But our fathers did not teach us perfectly. Some of you in here would, when you read that, you might say, what? I'm supposed to listen to my father. I wish my father would have given me that kind of instruction, but he really didn't. And he might have been a great guy and really, really nice, but you didn't receive from him the very words of God. Parents, this is a charge to you. The rest of this is kind of going to be a charge as we expound this. Parents, listen. Faith is caught as much as it's taught. And I'm talking to parents of, I don't care how old your kids are. Of course, those tender little ones that come up here, how much responsibility is upon you parents to teach them the word of the Lord and the way of the Lord? That's what Solomon is doing here. The influence that you have in their lives is unmatchable. No one else will shape them the way you will. So wouldn't it be really good if what you say to them, somebody could say this about you? Pay attention to my words. Why? Because my words are shaped by God's words, but my words are God's words. If a family gets into the Proverbs and everyone is encouraged to read them every day, then you'll start to talk to each other like, yeah, that's Proverbs 15:1. A harsh word stirs up anger, but a gentle word turns away wrath. It becomes part of your vocabulary, part of your corporate thinking. But listen, it is caught as much as it's taught. Kids do not expect perfection from you. What do they expect? They expect integrity. And you might say to yourself, well, but then I've already blown it. That doesn't matter. You can still have integrity even though you blow it, as we've been studying the past several weeks. What a child needs to see is that you deal with your mistakes and you deal with your sin rightly. If you deal with it rightly, you are a person of integrity. I say that I believe in Jesus. I want to follow the commands of Jesus. When I break the commandments, then I go directly to the person that had broken them in front of and harmed because of it, and I apologize. And I deal with it rightly. That's integrity. You see what I'm saying? It's not perfection, but it is authenticity. And the greatest gift you can give to your children or your grandchildren is authenticity. If it is real, they will know that. Does that make sense? You don't have to be perfect and then say, well, then I've got to farm this job out to somebody else. Sunday school teachers, or I'll bring them to church. No, you've got to do it at home in front of them. And I would have to say, I don't know how your kids will ever read the book of Proverbs if you don't. So again, I'm not trying to be harsh and chew you out. I'm simply saying, why would you not? I don't have time. Do a time management little thing on yourself. You take one of those sheets that breaks the day up into 15 minutes a day and fill it out for 2 weeks, you'll find out what you spend your time on. And you'll find, I think I've got a half hour in there someplace that I could devote to God if I really wanted to. Okay? So, three generations. Oh, the home that could say, you know, Grandpa taught me that stuff. Dad and Mom taught me that stuff. They lived it. And it's just in me. You know, we say, well, it's like my dad used to say, or it's like my granddaddy taught us. Because there's value in saying that there's a connection with what is the wisdom of the ages. So there's something that's so powerful. Now, you might be sitting there thinking, I really blew it. Okay, we all have blown it. Go to God now, right now, today, and say, it's going to change today. Your kids, no matter what age they are, you're going to find very forgiving if you live it out now. God will redeem that. God will heal that. God will grant forgiveness. God will wash it all over. And you can start right now. It's the beauty of it. You might have spent 50 years blowing it. You can redeem it in a very short period of time, most of the time. Just start living it. Start showing it. And in God's time, He'll fix it all. Okay. So let's look at verse 5. At the end of verse 4, keep my commandments and live. It is life. This is the key to life and health and happiness and everything. A fruitful life. Verse 5, acquire wisdom. Acquire understanding. This means make it the top of your priority. Jesus said, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and then everything will be added to you. But you've got to want it. You've got to go for it. You've got to pursue it. You've got to buy it. You've got to purchase it and make it your own. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake wisdom or understanding, and she will guard you. Love her, and she will watch over you. This is good. The beginning of, he talked about acquiring, purchasing. The beginning of wisdom is acquire wisdom. If you get wisdom, there it is. And you know it also, Proverbs teaches us that the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. It's the same thing. If you really fear the Lord and you really want to know what He thinks about it and says about it, then you're going to acquire it. You're going to seek it. Okay, acquire wisdom, verse 7. And with all your acquiring, get understanding. Prize her, and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a garland of grace. She will present you with a crown of beauty. As I try to understand that, I think what that means is that your life will change. You, first of all, inside, you will be happier. You'll be freer. And therefore, it'll be like a garland around your neck or a crown of beauty on your head. But also, from the inside out, you'll start living differently. All of a sudden, you will look like a person of integrity. Not perfect, but really following Jesus. And then people will see the fruit of the Spirit manifested in your life. And so it'll be a garland. A person ought to look at a Christian, as I said last week, the sun isn't as bright this week, but a person ought to look at a Christian and see the glory of God shining out of them. They ought to see goodness. They ought to see beauty. How many of you praised God yesterday, even though it was cold outside? Did anybody look at the blue sky? Did anybody look at the sun? Did anybody go out under the near full moon last night? You just, it's all groaning, it's all fallen, it's all broken, it's all not the way it's going to be or the way that it was, but it's all just, you see the glory of God shining through what He has made, even when it's all really cold and a lot of it's dead. But the glory of God just shines. Similarly, we're broken vessels. But people ought to be able to look at us and see the glory of God shining, and they will do that to the degree that we live like this, with wisdom. Now in verse 10, he shifts gears a little bit and he starts talking about these two paths. We talk so much about be on the narrow path. Don't go into the right or the left. You'll see that kind of language in a moment. Look at verse 10. Hear my son. That means hear it. Doesn't mean sit there and nod your head. It means receive it in. So it changes within. And then you do it. Then you've heard it. Hear, my son, and accept my sayings. That implies appropriating it, putting it into practice, doing it, applying it. And then the years of your life will be many. I have directed you in the way. Anybody want to die young? Anybody want to die prematurely, so to speak? No. We want to live as long as possible. We want to be healthy for as long as possible. Proverbs will help you do that. The years of your life will be many. I have directed you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in upright paths. That means a straightness about our path. It's straight. So morally, it's straight. It's following God's way. But also, practically, it's straight. It's even. There aren't so many things to trip over, and as it will come to the word stumble in just a moment. There's an evenness about it. It's not crooked. It's not up and down. If you're driving down a wandering road and you're hitting bumps, you'll go up to the mountains of Montana sometimes, and some of those trails that you got to drive 5 miles to get to the head of the trail, the 5 miles is treacherous, and it's just will destroy your suspension on your vehicle because it's just rough. That's what it's like to live, as we're going to see in a moment, on the dark path. It's just hard. And so he is saying here that the path of the upright is level, it's straight, it's smooth, it progresses toward your goal, it gets you to your destination in the shortest possible way. So I've directed you in that way. I've put you on upright paths. Verse 12, when you walk, then your steps will not be impeded. If you run, you will not stumble. He uses the word stumble here at the end of verse 16, at the end of verse 19. Stumbling is when it can be literally or it can be figuratively, is when we, and now listen, parents and teachers, because if you stumble, what will your kids do? What will your students do? To stumble means you just become weak and you start to totter and fall, you get faint. You become seduced by, you know, the proverb that says, where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. That's another argument for staying in it daily, because as soon as you don't, I haven't been in the Word for a day, 2 days, 3 days, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, your mind has drifted. It just happens. And all of a sudden, you just start getting a little bit tipsy and faintish, and then as far as your faith, they aren't even there. If there's no revelation, the people just cast off the restraint that comes from having the revelation of God right in your mind saying, don't do that. Stop it. That's wrong. If you don't have that, all the rationalizations start kicking in and all of a sudden, well, did it say that? I'm not sure if it said that. Verse 13, take hold of instruction. Don't let it go. Guard her, for she is your life. Don't enter the path of the wicked. Don't proceed in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Don't pass by it. Turn away from it and pass on. What's he saying? Nip it in the bud. Don't even start it. You know this. As soon as you start it, as soon as you say, yeah, just a little, you start going. It's really hard to stop. It's a slippery slope. The momentum picks up. You've already said God's word isn't true in this instance. My way is better. You've already said that. You crossed that bridge. Now you're on the path. So as it goes down, it gains momentum. You're not going to, it's a lot harder to then say, whoa, wait a minute, because it's already starting to feel good. You're experiencing the fleshly benefit of it, and it's just going to accelerate. So that's why the instruction is stop it now. It's a lot easier if you just resist the temptation now. You do that, then it just begins to dissipate. But you cave in just a little bit. I'll just suck on this piece of candy for, you know, a few seconds. That's pretty hard to spit out, isn't it? So practice this. You know what area you should know. what areas of sin struggle that you deal with. You should all know that. If you don't know that, read the book of Proverbs every day and you'll know it pretty soon. Because it'll point out to you, okay, yeah, there's these big areas in my life that I really struggle with. And there's a whole bunch of little ones I can't even deal with yet. But these are the biggies. Practice, as soon as you are tempted in that area, the next time, practice immediately resisting it. Immediately putting it away from you. Immediately put to death that fleshly desire that's waging war in your soul. Immediately abstain from it. Immediately resist the devil and he'll flee from you. If you do it immediately, start practicing it in the little things. As soon as it happens, it will become training. Just as you've been training yourself to do it, you'll train yourself not to do it. And you'll need God's help. So pray, of course, that he does that in his spirit in you. Okay? See, listen, the way of the wicked, well, let's continue on here. Verse 18. Watch what it's like for a person who's not on the path behind Jesus. This is what it's like. For they cannot sleep unless they do evil. So they have an insatiable desire within them that will only be satisfied by doing the bad thing. They've trained. No, you do it too, but that's all they do. Everything they do. I know, I lived it. For 28 years, I did this. Okay? The only thing that I tried to satisfy was my own fleshly desires. And some of them were fine. Some of them were, you know, people thought I was a nice guy and stuff. But it was all done for me. And so that person has an insatiable desire to do the exact opposite of God's word. It's as simple as that. They cannot sleep unless they do evil. They are robbed of sleep, watch this, unless they make someone else stumble. It's not enough for the people of the world who are otherwise, it just blows me away. When you look at someone who's otherwise intelligent, seem intelligent, look intelligent, they're educated, and yet they look you either the camera right in the eye or they look you right in the eye and they say something that absolutely defies any common sense and for sure the word of God. They have no desire whatsoever to line it up with his word. But it's not enough for the world to just say, this is what we believe and it's not what you believe, but you just leave me alone and I'll leave you alone. Is that what's happening? That's not what evil does. Evil keeps going. It's a predator. Satan is a predator. He wants you not just to coexist. He wants you to agree with it. He wants you to believe it. He wants you to embrace it. And if you don't, you're going to suffer for it. Is that what's going on in our world? So they cause other people to stumble. Let me read to you from Matthew, just real quickly, from Matthew chapter 18. Now Jesus is talking about children here. The disciples bring children to him. And Jesus said, but whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble. So this is another word. Parents, when we let our hair down at home, and we all do, probably. When we just, you know, and then we expose our kids to stuff that maybe we want to watch or we want to listen to or we want to talk about, and we expose our children to that, and then that becomes a stumbling block for them, probably for the rest of their life. That's a serious thing. And if you've done it, I've done it, we need to repent. We need to ask God to forgive us. And then repent and change and change the DNA of our family. You can do that. I can do that right now. And when I'm in the book of Proverbs, it will show me in what area I have to do that. Because Jesus said, whoever causes one of these little ones who believes in me to stumble, and you know it, it's better for him that a heavy millstone, or the millstone that a donkey pulls around, you know, to grind wheat, that big stone. It'd be better to tie that around his neck and that he be drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe to the world because of its stumbling blocks. For it is inevitable that stumbling blocks will come, but woe to that man through whom the stumbling block comes. So I don't want to be that influence in my family's life anymore, and I don't want to be that influence in with my friends or my teammates or the congregation anymore. And Proverbs will help me avoid that. Okay. Look at verse 17. For they eat the bread of wickedness. They eat it. It's you are what you eat. If that is your diet, that is what you will become. And they drink the wine of violence. It is intoxicating. It has that kind of influence on us. Now here's the key verse. So in your Bible at home, when you get home, you want to highlight this one. But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn that shines brighter and brighter until the full day. We'll come back to that, but look at 19. But the way of the wicked is like darkness. They don't even know over what they stumble. So I understand they don't get it. They don't see it. They're blind. But then don't be influenced by them. Be influenced by this. Isn't that encouraging to think that, and I've experienced it, I hope you're experiencing it, that the path of the righteous, I'm right with God, I want to do what's right with God, when I blow it, I deal with it rightly, I'm on the path of righteousness. If I'm on that path, it gets brighter and brighter until the full light of day. It gets better and better. Now, some of us are getting old, and I know Kim and I talk about this. She doesn't like, I mention it more than she would like, probably. But you know what? It won't always be like this. We're getting to that age. It's going to change. And in the meantime, tragic things will probably happen. But for your path getting brighter does not mean it's going to get easier. That life's going to get easier, that you're going to get healthier, that all of your problems are going to go away. That's not what that means. What that means is, if you're walking behind Jesus and you're on the path, and I would commend being in his word to shape your thinking and your mind, trying to obey it, you're a righteous person, following after Jesus, doing the best that you can, letting him pick you up when you blow it, receiving his forgiveness again. If you're that person, you see more of the truth, you understand better what it's all about, you're walking so much more closely with the Lord that even when those difficult things happen, then you're able to, he proved himself before that he'll get you through it. He'll be there for you. He'll give you whatever you need in the midst of it. And he's proven it over and over, and then you just, no matter how difficult it gets, he'll be right there with you, and you'll even experience joyful things in the Lord that you never would have if everything would have kept going smoothly. So that should encourage every one of us right now that if we determine, listen, read the book of Proverbs every day. Just do it for the next year. If you haven't done it so far, start today. Read it. Do it. If at the end of a year you say, that did me no good, I'll give you your money back. Okay? Read the book of Proverbs. It will help you so much. And you will see a year from now, I guarantee you, no matter what happens between now and then, I guarantee you, your path will be brighter. I guarantee it. Money back guarantee. Okay. So let's go to verse 20. My son, watch how in the next couple of verses he says it's got to be your whole self. We're supposed to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And we put all of our other loves underneath that. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight, his whole body. Keep them in the midst of your heart, the seat of your entire being. where your mind and your will and emotion rest. All of those things. For they are life to those who find them, verse 22. And they are health to all their whole body. He's commending Proverbs to us. Watch over your heart. Guard your heart with diligence. This is your innermost being. Give it the greatest care possible. Guard your heart. From it flow the springs of life. Put away from you the heart, and we'll go to another teaching of Jesus in a moment. Put away from you a deceitful mouth. Put devious lips far from you. Let me go to Matthew chapter 12, verse 33. You know these verses. Jesus said, he's talking to the Pharisees, religious people. He's saying it's not about what the people see from the outside, because they're looking at a whitewashed tomb. He says, either make the tree good and the fruit good. So that's what we're after. That's what the book of Proverbs will do for us. It will transform us from the inside out. Make the tree good. Well, then the fruit will be good. Make the tree bad and the fruit will be bad, for the tree is known by its fruit. And he says to these religious people, you brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, in other words, you're a bad tree, speak from your mouth what is good? You can't. For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. The good man, out of his good treasure in his heart, brings forth what is good. And the context is words. And the evil man, out of his evil treasure, brings forth what is evil. And I say to you that every careless word that men says, we know he's talking about our words. Every careless or useless or worthless word that a man shall speak, they shall render account for it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be judged, justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Why? Because the words flow out of our hearts. They reveal the true nature of our hearts. The book of Proverbs is one of the most effective tools that you can have and use to transform your heart and you from the inside out. All right. Verse 25, we're almost done. Let your eyes look directly ahead. Let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. Watch the path of your feet, and then all your ways will be established. They'll be solid. Do not turn. Here's the road and the ditches. Do not turn to the right nor to the left. Turn your foot from evil. Listen, the more if you're out hiking and it's flat on both sides the way Kim likes it, you know, you don't have to watch your path that closely. You can kind of watch the wildlife and scenery. If you're up and it's like a foot on either side is certain death, you're going to watch your path very, very carefully. The same is true spiritually. If you don't think this is a big deal, I'm trying to motivate you to think this is a big deal. If you don't, if you just think, you know what? I go to church. I believe in God. I got my health insurance policy in the safety deposit box or the fireproof safe in the house, and I've got it there. I'm going to heaven when I die. And basically, it'd be all right, but I'm an awful busy person. And you don't take this. If you don't think it's that big of a deal, you're not going to do this. You're not going to watch the path of your feet so that all your ways might be established. You're not gonna do it, period. So I'm just saying, please, please, give it a try. So as we bow our heads, before we bow our heads, listen to this. This is what the Bible says about the Bible. So if you say, and I'm not gonna quote a verse for everyone for time's sake, but everyone is in the Bible. If you say, I don't think that's in the Bible, let's talk about it. I'll show you where it's in the Bible because I got it all out of the Bible. Okay? This is what the scriptures will do for you. This is what they're designed to do. This is what God gave them to us to do. This is what the book of Proverbs will do for you. My last appeal. Here's my commercial. Okay? Why? The Bible will save you, mature you, transform you, renew your mind, sanctify you, make you holy, confront you, convict you, correct you, guide you, illumine your mind, perform its work in you, teach you, reprove you, rebuke you, train you, warn you, protect you, encourage you, motivate you, bless you. Why would you not want to do it? Listen, one last thing. God did not design it for you to listen to a podcast and that be the most important thing that's going on in your life between him and you. He did not make you that way. He did not make this, although this I believe is the central activity of the church when we gather, the preaching of God's word. He did not design you that this be your meal for the week. He designed you that this help, that this motivate, that this reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction, so that you'll go home and be adequate for every good work by getting into the word yourself. God designed you to have a one-on-one personal relationship with him, and he will minister, just as every one of you heard a different thing from the pulpit today. God did something unique in every single one. He will do that when you're in his word. Uniquely. You need to see it for yourself. The Holy Spirit will work in you in ways that he cannot work in a podcast or a sermon. There's something in addition to that. All I can do is give you a meal of fish and then encourage you to go fish, to teach you how to fish. And that's what I'm asking you to do. So as we bow our heads today, as I said at the beginning, my goal for today's sermon is very simple. It's to get you to read the book of Proverbs every day. If I do that, I will have accomplished something. And the effectiveness of my sermon this morning is going to be determined not by whether or not you say he's good or he's bad or he's smart or he's dumb. The effectiveness of this sermon is going to depend on whether someone in this room right now is motivated to continue to or to begin to interact with the book of Proverbs in a meaningful way, consistently. And then that you do what it says, that you put it into practice and experience its benefits. So here's what I'm asking you to do. As you bow your heads now, make a decision. Make a commitment. That's doable. Everyone's going to leave here, I'm reading Proverbs every single day for the rest of my life. No, you won't do that. Life happens. It's harder than you think. You could do it, but it's pretty tough. Make a commitment right now to do what, well, first of all, make the commitment that's doable and sustainable that will be different from what you're already doing because it will require you to make a change in your life or you would already be doing it. So if the Holy Spirit has impressed upon you the importance of doing this, if you have the desire, then please, as you bow your head, make this commitment to God and ask for God's wisdom and ask for his help to show you what you need to do differently to make it possible. Okay? You'll probably have to reorganize your schedule a bit, but do it. And you will be blessed. Let's pray.